Welcome everyone to today to the Why Jesus class. And we are going to go into Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. Lord, I just pray that you would give us the ability to glean from your word today and that you would breathe your spirit and your life, Lord, on your word, Father, on who you are as our Savior, as our healer, as our provider. And Father, that we would have the ability to apply what we learn from the scriptures to our lives, Lord, and to those who we come in contact with. Amen. So, yes, we're going to go to Luke chapter 17, 11 through 9. 11 through 19, and I'll read it first. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem, that is Jesus, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. Does that sound familiar? Standing afar off like the prodigal? And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priests. Now that was the protocol of the day. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God. And he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he, this man, was a Samaritan. And so Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Now, there's several characteristics seen here in this story, and let me mention them. In the first characteristic, we see Jesus has a goal, that he is headed to Jerusalem, okay? Here's a couple of references for you in Luke 9:51. In Luke 13:33. Secondly, the social outcasts receive Jesus's mercy. Now remember, this is really the heart of the Gospel of Luke, is that he is ministering to the outcasts, the fringe, the publicans, the unbeliever, so to speak. So that was the second one. And then thirdly, the characteristic of the story is that Jesus honors the Jewish norms by requiring the lepers to go to the priests for a clean bill of health. Okay, so he's really obeying and honoring the law in that when anyone was to enter back into a social type setting or the village culture, they were to get a clean bill of health. It's kind of like when you have a job and you need a doctor's note to return back to work saying that you're fine, you're not contagious, and so on. So, and we have clear examples of that, having just gone through and still in the midst of COVID-related illnesses. So so those three things are part of the characteristics of the story. Then we see that this one leper has faith and healing, and he gives glory to God. And God's grace reaches beyond the borders of Judaism here, with the Samaritans receiving God's attention, the outsiders receiving God's attention, It's like when that scripture that says, you know, invite people to the wedding feast. They have all those excuses. We studied that. And he's like, go, well, there's still room. The servant says, go to the highways and the byways. Luke is a man who goes in the highways and the byways. This is really unique to him in that he was a Gentile believer, which I did not know that. Really, I just thought he was one of the 12, but I never realized that he was a Gentile until I studied it. So anyways, Jesus travels towards the village along the border between Samaria and Galilee, and he goes out of his way to visit, to heal these 10 lepers. Now, Jesus, as part of who he is, how many of you know he does go out of his way? When you're in the midst of a service on Sunday, Jesus goes out of his way. And something happens where somebody comes forward with something, somebody receives salvation. I mean, we're seeing life in our services just bubbling up week after week. And so we see that, you know, our senior pastor honors the work of the Spirit, doesn't he? Because there are a lot of places that you could go and you do not upset the protocol. You have, first you have 30 minutes of worship, then you have, you know, announcements, then you have 30 minutes of the word, and then you know what I'm saying? We really have the ability, the agility, and the flexibility in the Spirit because of what God has done with our senior pastor and his wife as well. So I really do, that's something that I really do appreciate, because it really does allow God to run the show, right? God is running the show. The Holy Spirit's running the show. We're just stewarding it. And I'm thankful that we have good stewards to allow the Lord to move. And, you know, I've spoken to many people the last couple of weeks, and it's very, very important if you've done something for a long time in the church, or you have a position or a title or a ministry, it's very important that you do not get intimidated or threatened by something God does through somebody else. We're not in a competition. If God chooses to use a brand new believer to deliver something of the Lord, then you honor that. And so and if we do struggle a little bit in those areas, like who the heck does he think he is coming on? You know, he's only been here for, you know, 2 years, and we've been following the Lord this long, and we don't want to be the elder brother, and we do not in the fear of the Lord want to quench what God is doing in the Spirit. So I believe that is very, very important. And all of us in our flesh will feel those feelings sometimes. Just don't act on them and just turn to the Lord and just say, Lord, this is a red flag for me that I have some insecurity going on, or a healing that I need, or, you know, that rejection that I feel, or whatever it may be. This is an hour where God is doing something across the board inside of us and outside of us. So it's a little chaotic. And it's like we've said in the past, a nursery has life and kids and crying and mess and right, but a graveyard has order. So we don't want to be that. We want to get up out of our graves like we sang on Sunday. Amen. So let's move on. On the border, it also speaks about the in-between. You know, there are a lot of places in our lives where we are in between. We're not where we used to be. We're not where we need to go, but we're in that process of being in the in-between or the middle. And that is a really hard place to be, because most likely that's a place where we are working through issues, and also you're a little unsettled, you know what I mean? And that's a good thing. To be disoriented in the spirit or frustrated in the spirit just means change is coming, and that's a way and an opportunity for us to prepare for what God is doing. And so it's not a bad thing to be in that middle place, right? It's a good thing, and it means something is happening. And we always want life and the Spirit of God to be moving in our midst. So now we see Jesus goes out of his way, and most likely in the story, as we see in this account, the lepers are at the edge of those borders. Both Jewish and Samaritans alike are there in their misery and in their pain. So that's incredible when you think that for the Jewish lepers, they did not think anything of being side by side with a Samaritan leper. They both were lepers, right? Like we all are sinful. You know, we all fall short. We all don't practice righteousness all the time. You know, we all have that struggle between our flesh and our spirit. And as we grow in God, the spirit dominates through our lives. But how many of you know it takes a process? It takes that cycle that is always ongoing of we come to the cross, we're broken, we have to let some things die. Then God in his mercy raises us back up, and we walk in a new level of freedom, in a new level of anointing, in a new everything in the spirit, you know, an expanded version of where we were. And then you think everything's good. And, you know, as soon as you feel like you're getting settled into your walk with the Lord, then up comes another situation where you go through that cycle again. And we will continue in that way until we cross the threshold of eternity. And most likely, if we're doing it right and we're walking with the Lord right, we will end up like Paul, saying, I'm the chief of sinners, because something in our humanity doesn't like to go there. We don't like to see how awful we can be. We would rather see how awful somebody else is and you know, kind of let ourselves off the hook. So we have to be careful of those things. But as I said, you know, we are his beloved sinners. We still mess up. We still make mistakes, but we are covered and forgiven in Christ Jesus. And so we have the liberty for new mercies every day and making short accounts with the Lord. Okay. So, excuse me. As I said, both sets of lepers were probably on the edge of the border and of Galilee and Samaria, and miserable in their state, of course. And now the lepers had to stand at a distance of, doesn't that sound familiar? 6 feet, COVID. So they had to stand at a distance of 6 feet. And if they were any closer, they would contaminate or render those that they came in contact with as being unclean. And Jesus hears this loud voice calling out to him, Master, have pity, have mercy on us, in verse 13. Now, notice in verse 13, they, most likely all 10, lifted their voices and cried out to God. Because in verse 12, we see the 10 men of the lepers were right there. So here's this community cry from the leper colony for mercy. You just put that in your back pocket for now. So when Jesus saw them, he told them what to do. Go show yourselves to the priests. Now let's look at Matthew 8, verses 1 through 4, which we will see a similar story. When Jesus had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came and worshiped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately, his leprosy was cleansed. So Jesus said, don't tell anyone, but go your way. Show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony of them. So we see two different ways that Jesus healed leprosy right here. This one is a cry acknowledging Jesus' ability and power to, oh, sorry about my dog, to cleanse that leper, to heal him. Whereas in this other story in Luke 17, they're crying out for mercy. It's a little bit of a different story, isn't it? But both lepers, the 10 and the 1, are told to go show themselves to the priests. Now, as a reference, you can write this down, Leviticus 14, verses 45 and 46. The lepers were considered unclean, defiled, and the lowest of the social status, okay? Lowest in society. They were rejected. They were beggars depending on others. Their cry for mercy was most likely a usual or common occurrence because they depended on others. If you did not have a family that came to the leper colony and dropped off food, you are at the mercy of strangers. And they also could not live with their own people, their own families. Their condition was second to being in contact with a dead body. So you have the dead bodies here, and then the lepers. Now, interesting, when the wind blew, their distance from others was maximized to 150 feet. And that was in case that disease was carried on in the air. That's pretty incredible. And the lepers in their community, they lived together either until they were healed or until they died. this is the condition of the whole world, really, as humanity is sinful. We live together until we are healed or we die, until we follow Jesus or not. So also, the lepers were considered cursed and often associated with sin. Now, in the Old Testament, leprosy is mentioned 55 times, in the New Testament, 13 times. And leprosy really was a catch-all general term for all skin disease, even mold and mildew on the walls or on clothing. That's kind of strange, I think. Now, I know personally what it feels like to have a skin disease, because I have struggled with psoriasis for many, many years. I've had treatments for 20 some years, right? And I still take an oral medicine. But when it was active, it is really embarrassing. You know, I mean, I would have to hide certain things, you know. My legs would just drip lymph fluid. You're scratching, you're itching, you're bleeding. And a lot of people have it in mild areas, but I really had it in a really severe way. And it's actually morphed into more psoriatic arthritis, which is, you know, joints and bones and all that. However, I've been free from that for a lot of years. And along with being clear in my skin came more confidence, less shame. You know, there's nothing worse. I mean, even teenagers, when they get breakouts, are embarrassed. You know what I mean? There's nothing worse than something that draws attention to you that is not, it's not good. It's not, you know what I'm saying. I can't grab the words right now, but you know what I'm saying. You know, it draws attention in a negative way, you know. So even bruises, breaks, all that kind of stuff, you know, that's the first thing people ask about. If I was out and in public and showed all that was going on in my body, people would stare at me, I'm sure. You know, it's like when we're under chemo and you don't have any hair, you know, it's good to cover up, because otherwise people, that's all they see is your bald head. Anyways, moving on. And believe me, I'm free from all that stuff. I'm not even crying. So again, leprosy could linger for years, and what it would do is degenerate tissue and deform the body, and it would actually affect the neurological system and the nerve endings, and they would become numb to pain. It would affect the brain and the spinal cord, and it was contagious and infectious. But when it would affect the nerve endings, they couldn't feel pain. So you could pick up a hot plate or put your hand on the stove and you wouldn't even know it. That's the condition that we get when we are reprobate, so to speak. When people get to that point where they don't even feel the pain of their own sin, they don't even feel the what they need to feel. You know, they're just numb or shut down. And it is degenerating to live in the world outside of Jesus for year after year. I mean, you can either, you get deformed in your soul, you get damaged in your soul. And the thing of it is, like, okay, you may not think that this is you. It was you at one point, but I want you to think of it in terms of there is a world outside of our immediate family and our immediate body of believers that is decaying, that is damaged to the point that they are losing parts of their life, are just falling off, whether it's through their sin, somebody else's, the enemy, whatever. But we are called, and I believe that in this hour, we are especially called. It is highlighted by the Spirit of God. There's a move beginning in the Spirit of God that is God only, and we are to facilitate the rescue and ransom of the lost, whether it's a kind word, whether you're planting seed or growing seed or harvesting. There's a song that I love on the radio, and it is, rain only matters to those who have seed in the ground. I love that song. And guess what? We have seed in the ground, and God is going to rain down by his Spirit. We're already seeing what he's doing in a small way. And honestly, for me, I am exhilarated. I am so rejoicing in God at what he is doing. Every week, I'm anticipating something great that he's doing. So I love that. For those of you that may be discouraged, I want to encourage you. The seed in the ground is getting watered. And it may look like you see nothing right now, but you're going to be surprised when one day it just sprouts up and you'll be amazed and you will see the fruit of your labors, the fruit of your prayers, the persistence of your faith, the hope that we have in Christ Jesus for our inheritance, which is the lost. And it is our inheritance, the lost, and it is the Lamb's reward. We are the Lamb's reward. That's quite marvelous. Okay, so we see back to Luke 17, verse 14, when Jesus tells them to go show themselves to the priest, and it says, so it was, oops, sorry, got to turn it off. No. Sorry, somebody called me. In Luke 17, 14, it says, go show yourselves to the priests. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. Unlike that previous leper that we saw in Matthew. No. We see that they were healed on the way. You know, for me personally, I love to see miracles and I love to witness healings, but the ones that happen on the way are a little harder for me to get through because it's in increments, right? It's a little here and a little there, and then you get to the end of the matter and you see what God has done. But you know, when it's in increments, you just are like, Lord, I want more, you know, I want more. And so that's just a personal thing for me. When it's in the incremental stages, it's a little harder for me, but obviously God has his way and you get there, right? And so it was that as they went, they were healed and they were cleansed. So one of them, when he saw, verse 15, that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God. Now, remember, it took great effort to make this journey from where they are at to Jerusalem. Imagine the ins and outs that they're still bearing the evidence of their leprosy, like I said, in the increments, and that they were judged by those increments. I don't know about you, but when I was first saved, people were like, well, isn't that isn't it her? I mean, I don't see any big difference, but it happened in increments. You know, for some, it's more miraculous and it's instantaneous, like Frank Majeski being thrown out of his seat. And that's what he needed, you know? So he says, he cries out with a loud voice, and as they journeyed, they had to endure the stares and the scorn, and perhaps even the awe and wonder as they were walking towards Jerusalem. Oops, no cars here, no lift. They had to walk, right? I'm sorry, I gotta fix this here. Okay. So, you know what's really weird is that I can't hear or see you guys. It's just really strange. Okay, so I'm just pretending that I see you, your beautiful faces, and that you are tracking along with me. Now, again, the call to go to the priest was that they had to display their obedience, number one, and also it blew the priest's minds. The healing that they witnessed couldn't be denied. The story that they heard from the 10 lepers couldn't be unheard, right? Jesus is just amazing how he does that. Now notice in verse 15, the one, and 15 and 16, the one who fell on his face giving thanks was a Samaritan, the despised, the biased, but you know, they were mixed mongrel breed according to the Hebrews of the day. So imagine him going to the priests. It's not where they worshiped. He had to go to the priests. He had to submit to them. And of all of them, he is the one. And maybe it's because those who are forgiven much love much. Maybe it's because of his history being under the scorn, the shame, the despised, unclean reputation of their mixed heritage. Because you know that when the Assyrians came, they assimilated with the Samaritans. And so that's why they were considered unclean, because they were mixed in the, you know, the Assyrians settled there, they intermarried, and so they became a culture that was different than how they originally started, both on the Assyrian side and on the Jewish side. So moving on, and we are almost there. There's only one that returned and gave glory to God. Only one worshiped, was grateful, thankful. It is really, really important to note that gratitude, worship, brings you so closer to God, to the Father, to Jesus, to the Spirit. If you are discouraged, if you're low, if you have the blues, if things are not going well, and believe me, I'm in it right now. I really, really am in it. Thanksgiving and gratitude can take you the distance. It really can. And I say that tearfully. So let's move on. There's 10 lepers, but one really became a true believer. We see multitudes that have come, crusades and so on, to Jesus over the years. But the ones that stay, the ones that are grateful, the ones who continue to follow, they are God's true believers. And we pray that those who got healed of their leprosy or whatever was going on in their souls in our day and in our time, that they would return, and that they would return. You know, he's no respecter of persons. He healed them all. But that they would return with gratitude and thanksgiving and worship and understand what he did in their lives has made all the difference for eternity. So God in his mercy, he heals many. He's no respecter of persons. He healed all of them. But as I said, true believers offer thanksgiving, praise. They glorify God. And they hear Jesus, obey Jesus, follow Jesus. And so, like Jesus spoke to this Samaritan in verse 19, Jesus says, "Arise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." And that's what the Lord speaks to us, that we need to rise up and go our way. Go the way that God highlights for you. Go the straight path. Go in his way as he is the way. Go in your destiny. Go in your purpose. Go to your family. Go to your neighbors. Go to your community. Go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. For your faith has made you well. Now, this is not faith that we conjure up within ourselves. This is faith that is the faith that we have in who he says he is. Everything is in his hands. Everything starts in him. We only can do what his grace gives us the ability to do. We can do things in our own strength. It's true. And we can have little faith. That's true too. But if we really want that overcoming faith, we need to have faith in Jesus. And what he says is true. He is the way. Let's go our way. He is the truth. He is the life. So, we want to go our way with the full story, with the testimony in our bodies. Definitely, we want those miracles and healings in our souls. We want to see broken people well. We want to see our own wounds healed at a deeper level, and in our spirit, because before we ask, he answers. He does. So, Father, in Jesus' name, I lift up every single person here. I ask, Lord God, that you will cause them to rise up in this hour, to go their way as they follow you in whatever you direct them to, that they would obey your direction, Lord, and that they would do it, all these things, with gratitude, worship, and thankfulness. And also, Father, we ask for an increased anointing for the burden of the lost. In Jesus' name, amen.